Everyone, listen to me. We've all been deceived. We need to calmly head towards the exits.
Run for your life! It's gonna fall!
Welcome to the Banana
Bread and Circus
Republic with Crispy and
Tono,
your hosts for the end of the world, or whatever we're looking at.
We're looking at the reset.
Yeah, it's we're gonna be fine, ladies and gentlemen.
So strap in and join us to recalibrate the soul as we explore the ether and ethics of our evolution.
In the space between spaces, there's an intelligence that guides our values and our judgments, which determines who we are, what we're doing, and where we're going.
Follow your nose.
And think for yourself.
Consider no positive role model.
What time is it?
7:15.
So early
at night.
No secret identities.
Let's see an ID. Dr. Mohammed Rashid.
No, nothing with sex.
Are you insane?
Dude, that's the guy from Saved by the Bell.
I love college. Oh, shake it off.
And most importantly,
just remember you have to keep a B+ average to keep your scholarship.
You're looking at a dead man.
Don't worry, kid. Dale Mel has always had a rule that if your roommate
died as a result of his own willful act,
you get a straight A.
I'm not going to kill myself, in case that's what you're wondering.
Okay, now, here's Mr. Z.
Who's Mr. Z?
Mr. Z is the guy who's going to kill himself whether he lives with us or not.
Might as well live with us, his death won't be in vain.
We've got 2 weeks to move him in here and push him over the edge.
This guy is dead, man.
I got some beers. Let's drink them, huh?
Sandwich, not beer. Pamphlets say it's crucial to keep all instruments of self-destruction away from the suicidal person.
Hey, Buckley. Ah, what's with the knife?
You must be our new roommate.
That's right, if I'm still around.
Hey!
Ah!
Whoa!
This guy's psychotic.
I smell a pig.
Hey, pig!
Hey!
Paramount Pictures presents, in association with MTV Film,
guys know any chicks are like prey,
a Pacific Western production.
Oh, God! Who's they thinking listening to you?
Which one of these chicks is for me?
Actually, I think they're all lesbians.
Lesbians!
That was my favorite.
What do you do next?
Coming soon.
Oh God. Yeah, no, there's a few clips from that. I was like, oh yeah, we should get those as sound bites. And I was like, no, and what, actually we can't.
What movie was that?
It's called Dead Man on Campus. It came out in like 98 or something like that.
Yeah.
I was mid-teens, like watching it in high school, like, this is hilarious. It's like such a sick, sadistic fucking plot.
Yeah, like, it almost reminded me of the Road Trips, those types of films that are like those.
It kind of started that.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of the movies that started that genre.
No shit.
Like, you know, he's like, this guy's going to kill himself whether he lives with us or not. So let's get him in here and push him over the edge.
Right.
It's like, Jesus Christ, that's dark.
Oh, there were all kinds of weird, goofy ones that were in that circle of like those plots that are just so whacked up. Yeah. And it was around that era.
And some of them hold up and some of them don't, too.
Right. Like Anchorman almost reminds me of some of that stuff, that edge as well. Like some of the stuff that's in Anchorman, like, it's like, I can barely picture a movie like that these days that are like, you know, they're just that, like, that's quite a raspberry.
I'm going to punch you in the mouth.
Dog off of the fucking bridge and shit like that. Yeah. Like, it's just weird. Yeah, yeah. But like, yeah, just that weird edge to it.
I'm going to punch you in the mouth. When they're like signing off together and they're just reading whatever's on the teleprompter. Yeah.
Gosh, there's so much. Everything's so computerized now that it's like all of it's kind of part of the algorithm. Like the computers are telling, you know, producers and investors what is, you know, good and what's bad.
And everything's garbage. Yeah.
As a result. Yeah. And how could it not be? There, you know, why it makes perfect sense why there's not enough. You can feel that there's not enough heart in things anymore.
And there's, you know, there's multiple things leading to that, whether it's, you know, the recent strikes or the woke agenda, you know, writer's block, or, you know, the fact that they don't, yeah, they're not paying, they're out of ideas, and yeah, it's becoming so hard to find something even bearable to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying this to a buddy last week, like, I was like, you know, when we were kids and teenagers and early adults, whether you liked going to the movies or not, there was always at least one good movie to go see, you know? Didn't matter what was out at the time.
Right.
Like, if you and your friends were like, hey, let's go see a movie, you know, you could figure it out when you got there what movie you guys were going to see together, because even the crappy ones back then were watchable. And now, you know, like, so...
I can think of a few.
Yeah, so you'd have, you know, you'd have throughout the year, throughout 365 days of Hollywood's production, you would have a bunch of good movies, a few shitty ones, and then a few good ones. And now it's like mostly shitty. If you're lucky, you get a couple good movies per year. There's no great movies coming out anymore. Like,
I mean, yeah,
people movie. Were trying to say that Barbie was the fucking best. Barbie was one of the best movies of last year. They compared it to Oppenheimer, which also wasn't that good. It's like, but compared to fucking Barbie, yeah, I would have to assume.
Well, it was one of those that made like headlines because it was like, you know, it was a big rave on how the production team that was behind such a successful movie. Like, that was the attention. It was kind of weird. I haven't seen it, so I can't really say anything about it specifically.
How about the production?
I know what you mean, though.
How about the production team on that movie Rust with Alec Baldwin, where he shot those two people? Hollywood's going in a good direction.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I remember. Did you tell me about that movie? Or did...
Oh, I don't think it'll probably never see the light of day. I don't think they got the chance to finish filming it because he accidentally shot two people on the set. Accidentally, or not.
I remember hearing about that.
It's not that accidental if you point your gun at a person and pull the trigger.
It was Baldwin that did that?
Yeah.
I thought it was like it wasn't his brother.
No.
Oh,
no.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
He's been indicted on, I believe, 2 counts of manslaughter.
That's not
involuntary,
good.
Perhaps. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I used to be, I mean, I wouldn't call myself a fan necessarily, just because that's...
He was awesome in Beetlejuice.
Yeah, I mean, he had some pretty cool projects that he was doing. And then
I think he was in The Shadow. Did you ever watch that?
No, I don't think it rings a bell, but I enjoy him, like, even in just, like, 30 Rock. Like, that you know, where he's not really, he's like playing a you could tell most likely, because I can't say this with confidence that I, you know, I don't know the guy, but you can tell that that's a character that is like, okay, it fits for him well enough to that, like, you could probably determine that that's like him. Like, he's just being himself for the most part.
Or in his weird, it's like, at SNL least an family. Aspect of him. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like SNL with that, like, you know, skit comedy, you get aspects of the person coming out more than just some random script or role that you're handed because of
SNL used him so politically, though. It put a bad taste in my mouth for all of them.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I laughed like maybe the first few times, but then it just got kind of weak and dry. Like for me, it kind of dried up pretty quick.
Enough about him.
Yeah.
You know,
not a critic here. I have no idea what the fuck I'm talking. I can't act to save my life. I tried. I suck at it. Even in Fiddler on the Roof as a kid, I was like terrible.
Here, watch. I'll do it right now. I am but a rich girl. La 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 la.
Well, if only I could remember a line. That's the thing.
I can't do it as the girl, though. I have to do it as the father, and I don't think he's the one that sings that part.
I enjoyed the movie. In fact, I'll probably revisit. I'm the type of guy that will revisit classics from now on.
It's like the Jewish Les Miserables, right?
Yeah. Word. Nice.
That's right-ish.
Sweet.
Doing a little flight of the Humbeant.
Should I plug the thing?
Let's do a live plug, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So yeah, just the other day closed my very first direct-to-retail sale, and it's over at the Beverage Warehouse in
It's off. Yeah. He's off and running.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing is the Beverage Warehouse, do you mind if I mention where? In Winooski, Vermont, it was voted like number one. And I can't remember how many years in a row, but for like most beverage, like, variety.
The best,
selection.
Depot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who votes on that sort of thing, but it was kind of cool to like be in that environment. Like right before me, this tasting that it was like a presentation. It was like presentation format, and I didn't really come all that prepared, other than having done it already once and feeling like I bombed it. But the next day, kind of rebound, and I was like, I walked in, and this chick in a coat, like with her hood on, was like darting toward the door toward me after I had already asked for the guy who my appointment was with. And the guy behind the counter was like all standoffish. And you can imagine walking into there where they have like the plexiglass and all that like set up, where the guy, like he calls the guy on the loudspeaker. And it, like, for a moment there, he was just focused on me. But then, so the girl turns the corner and starts to walk out. And the lady further back, in the actual like liquor store portion of the store, like hollered, like, ma'am, that you pay that for that over here. And like that, like it was really interesting because you could tell that they deal with that on a regular basis.
Oh,
because
shit, yeah.
The guy like turned, he didn't even have to do or say anything. He just turned and blocked the doorway where you have to exit. And he's just like pointed, and she turned around. She's like, oh, pardon me. And he looked at me and he was just like, you were just totally trying to jack that. And I just kind of stood back and got out of the way. But in hindsight, I'm like, fuck, I hope they don't think I was a decoy. Like, that was so awkward.
He thought you were part of her.
No. I don't think he
escapade?
Did. I truly don't think he did.
Okay.
I think I was like, it was only in hindsight I would have even connected.
He looked at you suspiciously at first, though.
No, he did. I didn't sense that at all. It was just like wrong place, wrong time. But like, dude, that, like, also made me wonder, like, Jesus, dude, like, you could be caught in a bad situation at the wrong place at one time, any minute. Anyway, that's not the point of the story. The point is, I walked out they invited me in to the back room, and, you know, they have like a barrel, like, on its like upright position.
A little tasting barrel.
Yeah. Like, with like, as a table where they have like glasses and stuff set up. And there was this guy who was before me, because I arrived like slightly early. It was probably rude of me to do that.
Better that than late.
Yeah. So he was really hospitable. He just like pulled up a stool, let me just sit and wait right there rather than at like the front of the store, with all the foot traffic and everything.
Yeah.
And so I just chilled back and was able to shadow most likely who was a distributor presenting their product line, which was mostly like vino, like red wines and stuff. So he had just got done tasting whatever that was. And then I Yeah. Gave him like what I had to offer.
Yeah, those people must get drunk at work.
Well, he's pretty, yeah. I mean, like, I wonder. You know, and not heavy pours.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact,
yeah.
If anything, like my experience, like giving those things, they really only take the slightest bit. I've never seen anyone spit it out,
no.
But they always pour out the residual.
Okay.
So, like, you know, what little bit is there?
Okay. They're not, it's not like us at the Food and Wine Fest.
Right. Right. That's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, I should do that more often at the Wine Fest, you know, because then you just get loaded up.
I think
up
they would take offense to that there, though. They could, maybe. To me, it seems like a big, almost like a lot of the vendors there enjoy just watching all of the hammered people throughout the day.
Mm.
I could be wrong. But every time a glass gets broken, it does get a little more festive.
If you're in the central Vermont area and you're looking for a special souvenir to take home and share with your friends and neighbors, Humbiant Fermentary's got you covered. Humbiant Fermentary produces craft batches of hard cider from the heart. This wild fermented cider is a tribute to the depth and complexity of how intertwined we are with the flora and fauna of the ecosystem.
In our attempt to be humble stewards of the biosphere, as Humbiants, we offer this taste of microsymbiotic flavors to your gut biome. By forming an alliance with our microbiome, we simultaneously forge a partnership with nature in her wonderful beauty and simplicity, of which we are inseparable participants capable of co-creating a world worth living in.
Nature is the way.
Cheers. Yeah. This has been an interesting week. It's really good to see you, man.
Likewise, sir.
Yeah.
Likewise. It's been
an interesting week.
Glad this worked out.
Yeah, me too. And yeah, it is kind of weird that, like, to see the sun come out more, and the whole, like, Groundhog Day thing just always, like, makes me laugh. Like, it's such an arbitrary tradition that, like, it's strange. Like, I didn't even think anything of it this time.
Oh,
just
because
I'm so locked into, like, what is happening around us here. Like, ignoring that you can't really predict the weather like you used to, you know? Which is something that we're losing, I think, because the computers are not doing a very good job at it. You know, similar to these scripts and movies and shit, and all the AI that's running Wall Street in terms of what ticker stock to buy.
Right. There's no predictive programming that's going to tell you, you know, like, what the weather's going to be in 4 years. We can't figure out what the fucking weather's going to be in 2 days sometimes, you know, so.
Right. It's quite unpredictable. Of course, there have been, as of late, like, the storms that they're seeing coming have been pretty on point. So, like, meteorology itself has its place, but the fact that we've developed these traditions in terms of what we expect.
Right, right.
We're not really good at learning to expect the unexpected.
Yeah, no, I mean, people want that guaranteed notion of what's going to happen, and then they want somebody to shake their fist at if it was wrong, you know?
I know, but we're really fucking weird in that way. Right?
Well, yes and no, because this is probably not the first time our species has dealt with this kind of, like, virulent weather, up and down, ebb and flow of things. But it's probably the first time our species has ever encountered it where so much of our species is, you know, we're living in defined locations with no flexibility, like, fully rigid life. You know, we're supposed to be nomadic as a species. We're supposed to move with the weather, you know. There's a reason why more people live by the sea than they do in fucking the Northern Circle, you know. But people live everywhere on this planet, but it's really a matter of what you're willing to put up with and how flexible you are.
Right.
You know, when you have a house made of concrete and wood and shit, mm-hmm. and you live in a floodplain, then you know, doesn't matter if there's weather change or not, you're rolling the dice.
Yep. That's what my brother would say. What'd you expect? If there's like
we need a clip of Benji. What'd you expect?
Yeah. I should get into it.
I'm sure we have it on one of the episodes. We just need to. I'm pretty sure he said that.
Well, I don't know if it's come out on the mics yet. He's a little bit shy.
But with that. Just him saying, what'd you expect?
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm pretty sure he said that.
I wonder what the context was. Because he's pretty good at doing that he'll do that to me all day to the point where it's annoying. He'll also do the thing like, what are you pissed? But like, regardless of whether or not, definitely now is at the point where it's like, I'm not pissed at all. And he just says it. It's like a nervous twitch.
Yeah.
So it's annoying as fuck.
It's a little verbal.
But it's like it originated out of its actual true form of like someone's pissed off as fuck. What are you pissed about? What are you pissed?
What are you pissed?
And so like it's a great remedy to like pop the bubble of rage. Pissed? Yeah. What are you pissed?
Like the whole thing's going right over your head.
Well, he in the plumbing world, he's told me some fucked up stories of like, you know, because we grew up back of the house pretty much in our terms of our working, like workmanship in the world after high school and shit. So like, we've seen some shit too in terms of, you know, rage and arguments and just conflict up the wazoo. Of all sorts. Within the plumbing stuff that he's doing, he had this one coworker who, like, I'm not going to say their name, obviously, but
Jimmy.
Yeah, we'll call him Jimmy. Jimmy would get so enraged over, like, the stupidest things.
Jimmy's
like,
mother never breastfed him or held him as an infant. Sorry. But he'd get enraged.
Yeah, well, like, came from a large family of siblings. So like,
I was just kidding.
Crazy. How did you know?
Wow.
Jimmy. No.
He would get so enraged, though. Sorry.
Out of like the stupidest stuff, but like not just enraged. He would get to the point, according to, you know, what Benji went through with this guy, of like hardcore criticism. You know, like literally go for the gut when it comes to like the feedback you're getting on the job, right? So like you're both caring about what you're doing, maybe one a little bit too much than the other. And, you know, one person is bound to, you know, take that on and absorb that energy that's being dumped on you. Cause it was countered by a boss that was kind of like me and you, like Iggy. Like for me, Iggy was like a father figure. He had a kind of like a father figure for a boss, but this other dude who was like, had this fucking horrific suppressive anger problem was like kind of countering that. So he could tolerate the job enough and then get like his mastership and inaugurated. Actually, when the government came to speak at his commencement, Benji's commencement ceremony from graduating from, you know, the tech program he was part of through that, he got like, I think it was like top 3 student award. Like that, like, you know, you have like the star notification by the names on the list of people graduating. And his graduating class was big, man. Like I was surprised. Like
he's a smart dude, you know. I can't say I'm surprised to hear that he came out towards the top of his class.
Yeah, I'm really proud of him.
Definitely.
He definitely knows his shit. And he's really even good with like his customers too. Like he's responsive. He's, willing to help them through a tough plumbing challenge and all that. So, he knows his stuff and he's trying to recruit enough people. Actually, he's at the point where he's so stretched so thin that he's like psychologically like trying to fucking endure how to manage that. So. Yeah, at some point.
If all of his work wasn't so far down south, I'd be like, yeah, maybe I should get into plumbing.
Oh, yeah. Well, he would, given your experience specifically and just the trades in general, he would probably start you off pretty good, I'd bet, if that's something you were willing to consider. But I can totally get, like, the drive for me is what
It's about an hour drive.
That's the only reason why I haven't jumped on that bandwagon like forever ago.
Yeah.
Like this fucking, I was just talking to you about like being like married to this fucking public sector job is killing me inside. I would hopscotch over to the fucking private sector if I could, if I had it, like if I could justify the leap of just like wanting something different, but it's always
the private sector is such a vagary, but yeah, no, you,
well, it's just, there's a reason. It's not that I'm indecisive. It's like when faced with that crossroads.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, it's weird. Like, I don't know why I'm trying to justify this right now with you, really, because part of me is trying to, like, forgive myself half the time for, like, fucking quit your complaining, Chris. Like, the last episode, I think I fucking ranted on nothing about my fucking how miserable I am in this job. So it's like, I don't want to necessarily be that person.
Well, it's not like, that's not every episode, and adult, it's also like, yes, hey, everybody out there, we are human, and some weeks we're going to have episodes where we talk about our problems, not just the problems that we all face, and hopefully we can all learn from each other's mistakes, you know, and tribulations, I understand that, you know, thanks to Ritalin and Adderall and pornography, that not a lot of people have great attention spans these days. But, long-term discussions about, you know, difficult things, even if it doesn't necessarily relate to something you're going through, might help you in the future.
I agree. And that's really where I was going with it, too. So I appreciate you saying that, sir. Cheers. Which one you got there?
Ginger. Pour it? It's beautiful.
Oh, you got the ginger. Nice job, man. Yeah, this was another one that they liked a lot. That seemed to like really hit the spot for them, which is cool. I think it'll go good with fish. Like fish dish?
Yeah, like a nice white fish. Yeah.
We went to Fodang after to celebrate.
Where's that?
Oh, you haven't been there?
No.
Dude, you should check it out.
It's Vietnamese?
Colchester?
Pho place?
Vietnamese. Yeah. Delicious. Fucking A, dude.
In like, Colchester.
When we walked in, the place was like maybe 20% full. By the time we left, the whole place was packed. And like they were ready for like taking other tables.
Goddamn. I love
It's amazing. It's really good, man. Great food. And right across the way is like the tiny Thai restaurant. But this pho place has been there for forever. And actually, they changed locations. They used to be actually across the street somewhere up the road from there. But it's great. Unbelievable food, man. I loved it. Oh, sweet. Yeah, man. Pull it up.
If I can find it.
What's it about?
I can't find
it. Oh, that's okay. What would it be generally? Yeah. Maybe our listeners can look it up later if they want to.
It's a Kyle Kinane joke where he's talking about, he's like, yeah, I know it's called pho, but I don't give a fuck. He's like, I buy it. You think? He's like, I buy it. That's as much support as I can give. You think that people in China are worried about whether or not you're pronouncing meatball sub correctly? No, they're not. But he's like, what is pho anyway? He's like, well, it's basically what happens if you pour drain water on top of dead fish body and nightmares. I'm doing it an injustice. Yeah, I shouldn't have
gotten it. That's okay. But, well, you tried to look it up.
I tried. Shout out, Kyle Kinane.
No, yeah, you're good. How did we get on this topic, the pho? Well, actually, I think this would go really well with that pho dang cuisine, like the Vietnamese. Have you had Vietnamese food before?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
I had a dish that I couldn't pronounce, so I went with the number on the menu.
it was 13.
I was the
anybody guy that goes there, he highly recommends 13.
I wish I could. I wanted to attempt to pronounce it, but I didn't want to sound like a gringo dumbass, pretentious, like, asshole customer.
Shit, what do they call us over there? I can almost remember it.
Who knows? They have their own language.
DD Mao. Yeah, that's called Vietnamese. DD Mao means get out.
Oh, it does. I know that. How do you know that?
From all the Vietnam War movies.
You go home in body bag, GI. I can't believe anybody would stiff a restaurant like that. Not to say you found out stiff? That way by any means, but the reason you just triggered a memory of like seeing them online, and I think it was Fodang that like on their social media feed they use is like a post of a photograph of a woman who's like, if you see this person, don't let them in your establishment because she's ripped us off
before. She dined and dashed.
Yeah, whatever that is. And like the way that they're set up is like you have to go to the counter to pay. So by the time like they, dude, only one person show basically in the.
It's basically the honor system at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. So tip your waitresses, people.
Tip your waitresses. Pay your fucking bill. If you go out and somebody makes food for you, they do all the fucking cleanup. All you got to do is sit there and act like some sort of public piglet, then yeah, at least pay your goddamn bill. Have some dignity.
Oh God, I'm gonna tip the fuck out of that place. Like they like delivered the goods.
Yeah.
I mean, never stiff them. That like,
and people out there are gonna be like, oh well, what about you know, if you know the single mother with four children, it's like what's she supposed to do? Just pay her bill? It's like, no, she's not supposed to go out to a fucking restaurant with four children.
Right.
Sadly.
Just learn how to cook, like, you know?
Yeah,
learn how to cook.
Yeah.
Use your time wisely, you know? Quit ripping people off.
You know, if never mind.
So we stop there, it ends there.
I was about to dig us deep.
Yeah, if we haven't already. I don't think we have though.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
We're in good standing with our listenership. We're 30 minutes in. If you folks haven't left already, then congratulations. Not many people have. You're part of the 10%.
I don't know. And of those 10%, we will only castrate some of you.
Metaphorical here. We're not violent people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, did I say chemical castration? No, I meant kinetic.
It might be good to do some pruning on the old neurology. Be good for us, I think.
What are you talking about? Like a
castration in the sense of like dropping ideas from our. Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of like, you know,
shedding bullshit.
Yeah. In fact, I mentioned Lao Tzu on the last episode that we had, or on one of them. If whatever one goes up after this, I apologize if it's chronologically irrelevant, but Lao Tzu and Zhuang Tzu, Taoist, I would call them masters. They would
progenitors.
Yeah. That's a beautiful word for it. In that Lao Tzu once said, to attain knowledge, add things every day. To attain wisdom, remove things every day. In fact, there's a beautiful story that Zhuang Tzu tells about a student who went to Yan Hui, or I think Yan Hui was the actual student. I forget. I might be getting my wires crossed, but the master is just known as the master, I believe. So Yan Hui, the student, remarked to the master, "I am learning. You know, like, I'm learning. I'm finally learning." That kind of thing. And then the master says, "How?" I have forgotten the rules of righteousness and the levels of benevolence. And the master said, "Good, but it could be better." A few days or a few weeks later, Yan Hui came back and said, "I'm making progress." "How?" the master asked. "I forgot the rhythms and the music." "Better, but not perfect," the master said. A few days later, Yan Hui came back and said, "I figured it out." "How?" the master said. "Now I sit down and forget everything." "What do you mean, you forget everything?" the master said. "I forget my body and senses, and leave all appearance and information behind. In the middle of nothing, I join the source of all things. The master bowed. You have transcended the limitations of time and knowledge. I am far behind you. You have found the way. I don't think of that story very often. I'm glad that came up in this conversation, actually, because yeah, there's just so much there. Like, kind of goes back to, I think, when did we talk about the plants? I think it was cannabis that basically creates THC because of it, like, plays on the memory receptors and the idea of, like,
I think it was forgetting. It was either last week or the week before we hit on it, but we've also, I think we brought it up in a previous episode too, which may or may not have aired yet.
But that, yeah, exactly. So that process is, I think, important for that reason, because, like, the idea of pruning or chiseling away at your being is probably actually more important than what you actually accumulate and how your structure grows along the way. The cool thing about shifting to a mindset from plants to fungi in terms of our neurological makeup, because these things didn't come out of nowhere. Neurons didn't just evolve out of nowhere. It's because of, you know, how nature behaves in terms of its electrical and magnetic activity and relationships to each other. Right?
Totally.
Yeah. But the cool thing about doing that is seeing what fungi does to actually, like, it can, within a day, it can change its entire, like, network structure. Like, it's morph.
Yeah, it's entire objective. You know, it can be colonizing one thing over here and then realize that, oh wait, you know, just over here is better nutrients and boof.
Yeah, and shift entirely. Yeah. And you know, that pendulum is moving.
Adjust and adapt accordingly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, you get rid of what doesn't work and you keep what does. Like, that goes back to Bruce Lee, like, when he quote-unquote created his martial art, Jeet Kune Do, or Jun Fan Jeet Kune Do, but his book was called The Tao of Jeet Kune Do, which translates to the way of the intercepting fist, you know, and... Mm. The entire philosophy behind Jeet Kune Do is exactly what mixed martial arts is today. You know, you practice what works, you learn as much as you can, you practice what works, you disregard what doesn't. You know? And it's like, there's a, you ever seen that show, I think on Netflix, Marco Polo? Done
no.
by a guy that lives in Vermont.
Is it any relation to the game, Marco Polo? I like playing that as a lad in the
water. There's no water sports in the entire thing. It's about Marco Polo and his family's adventures over in Asia, but a little glorified, a little glamorized, but like there's also, you know, some actual like historical relevance to the show too. But so he gets over there and he finally befriends Kublai Khan, Genghis's grandson. So they're in China, and Kublai Khan has this Chinese kung fu master. This guy's blind, but his name is, I think, Hundred Eyes or something, because even though he's blind, he's unbeatable. And he's like both head of security and like trains all the guards. Totally. This is all totally historically factual, but the one quote that this guy says, totally fictional bullshit character, you know, 10-year-old could beat up a blind person. If there's any blind people watching this, psych! But, yeah, the blind kung fu master, he says, he's just talking about life in general. He's like, there's kung fu in everything. You know, like, everything is an art if you make it.
Like, exactly.
It's all about how practice you become it, whatever you're doing. You know?
Yeah, mind if I close with that note? Please, in that, sir. I think for a while, we've been kind of tricked into thinking that consciousness is this thing that is like, yeah, it's part of us. You can measure things with electrical impulses and even magnetic forces. And so there's an element of consciousness that plays a role in our being. But I think to be truly conscious, to have true consciousness, like we, instead of just these little glimpses of experience that we go through on this crazy ride of life, because without life, you don't have consciousness. And one could say vice versa, the same as well. Without consciousness, what the fuck is worth living anyway?
I mean, so, we're fleshy antennas for our consciousness.
But
yeah.
The point is that what if consciousness, instead of looking at it as a thing,
it's a field.
It's a field, but it's an art, right? Like it is art. It's a way of bringing.
I think that's where you get into like new versus old souls. You know, people that have gone through this realm of consciousness more than once versus people that are fucking clearly new here. You know,
right? Like if you know how to hone this thing and cultivate your body towards a state that you can exist in, then the field responds to that. So if you're able to actually get to that point,
your own harmonics,
zero point, and then harmonize with it, like you're an instrument.
I mean, look at how much of the self-help industry is based towards misleading people towards finding their own harmonics, you know?
Exactly. Like, yeah. The distraction and all of that stuff. And so, mind if I...
By all means.
Is this it? Is this one it?
Real life!
That's the one.
Gets me every time.
All right, dude. Thank you so much for being here. Fucking coming out here and enjoying some of this bounty. What do you think of... what one are you on now?
I'm on the love potion right now, and that is... It's getting me horny. I gotta go.
Dude, it's funny you say that, because there is an aphrodisiac ingredient in there.
Yeah. I mean, it's got some musk to it. It's good.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. I can't wait.
I know what it is. I'm not gonna give it out though. I think I know what it is anyway.
Alright. I'll
off air.
Yeah.
Not like that, pervert.
Words.
Love you guys.
Words. Peace.
Peace.